Today, we are in between series, and you know, I'd just like to take this opportunity today to share with you some of our vision as a church. Now, that begs the question, who is the church? So, well, the church, can I just tell you that it's not a building. It's not simply a location. Mm-mm. It is a movement. The church is a movement. It's you, it's me, it's us. That is the church. You know, it's a movement that's been going on for 2,000 years. It is a people connected to a common identity and purpose in Christ. I always find it interesting when inviting people to church, what they perceive, a location, a building, where there'll be a conduction of services. You know, no, it's more than that. And Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus is talking with Peter. And, you know, he tells Peter, you know, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, and the word that Jesus used in the original Greek text was the word ecclesia. That word ecclesia means movement. It means a gathering of people with a common identity and purpose. It's a movement. We are a body. A body was intended to move. Not to stay stagnant, but to move. Amen. So, you know, let us not be disconnected when it comes to the body, but let us connect and find purpose in that. So if you would, you know, I know every part of the body is valuable. Amen. Would you just look to your neighbor and just tell him you're valuable? Amen. Oh, yeah, some husbands just scored some brownie points with some wives just now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Colossians 1:28 through 29 says that, you know, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Wow. He is the one we proclaim. And why do we do this? Why do we do this? That we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That is our responsibility, church. To help one another mature in the things of the Lord. And when you think of maturing, it's a word that represents growth, a coming into of that which is within. And that is our desire as a church, to see you come into the things that the Lord has for your life. To see you mature. You know, if my boy, you know, if he's not growing, then I know that something's probably not right. But as long as he's growing, as long as he's maturing, then it's a sign of health. It's a sign of life. So if we're maturing, are we life-giving? Are we growing? You know, and I'm so excited. I can say that I'm a part of a life-giving church. Amen. So, Acts 2, 41 and 47 says this, that those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. A message was going forth. Now, how was that message going forth? People were declaring the message. The church was declaring the message. People were being baptized. Who was doing the baptizing? People were baptizing. The church was baptizing. And who is it that added to the church daily? Who is it that gives the growth? The Lord. Because the Lord is in that. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, we can labor all day, but if the Lord's not in it, we labor in vain. But where the Lord is, there is liberty, there's growth, there's health, there's maturity, there is an appeal. You know, something was happening there. And if we lift Christ up, all men will be drawn unto him. because there is something attractive about a sincere hope. There is something attractive about generosity. There's something attractive about not quitting. There is something attractive about his faithfulness being demonstrated through us unto one another. Listen, church, church can be joyous. It can be joyous. It can be fun. It can be a vehicle of discovery whereby we embark on an adventure that may have its challenges at times, like any good adventure, but it has results. You know, through the journey, that is, through the maturing process that occurs when we connect as a church, there are certain values which we've identified here at Elevate, which contribute to the overall tone and the health of a New Testament church. Values being authentic, relevant, relational, loving, and generous. Those are values that I believe we all deem valuable. Why? Why is it they leave an impression on us when those values are exercised, when they're practiced? Because we were designed to experience those. You were designed to be a vehicle of those values. It takes more, though, to do that than me just sitting at home and doing my own thing. Oh, yeah. It takes me connecting with the movement that God's called me to. It takes me being intentional to be involved in the lives of others and what God is doing. And sometimes that means that the stages, the backdrop, has to change a little. Yeah. And there are a couple different stages that we're going to look at here in which God, as it relates to church, he desires to operate through our lives and in our lives and desires us to connect in, to see that maturity happen, to see us come into those gifts and abilities, connect with purpose. Acts 20:20 says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." Publicly, I just want you to think for a minute, that is big church. Publicly is big church. From house to house, small church. Publicly is the forums, it's the auditorium, it's the open square, it's Jesus with the multitudes. House to house, Jesus with the disciples. It's getting closer, it's relation, where its relationship is deepened. You're able to get that one-on-one time. So, big church and small church. You know, God wants us, the Bible teaches us that God would like for the church to do two things here, which seem to be opposite. God wants us to be a big church, and he wants us to be a small church. Wow. See, we believe, and we say this all the time around here at Elevate, that the church must grow larger and smaller at the same time. Today, we're going to talk about church, big church, small church, why it's important. It's exciting. It's exciting to be a part of a church that embraces this approach to ministry. Those who prefer small church, and I've been there before, and I've used some of these things that we're going to look at even in the past as far as my excuse as to why I should just do small church and not big church. We're going to look at the number one myth right now as it relates to big church. Why should we not do big church? Well, myth number one, we need quality, not quantity. And I'm guilty of saying that before. But the Lord took me on a journey and showed me, hey, no, Jason, I designed for you to have both. As we just read in Scripture earlier, from publicly and from house to house. So, and in that argument of we need quality, not quantity, you may even hear something like, all we need is just a few good men. And I'm not talking about the Tom Cruise movie, you know, of Jack Nicholson. Man, that was good. You know, and that movie never gets old, you know. Or Or, you know, how about this? Well, we're not big, but we're solid. And don't hear what I'm not saying. These statements, though, I've heard them used at times. Unfortunately, like I said, also done it myself, have been used as a cop-out at times for not doing big church, for not reaching for others. Listen, we say that God's word demonstrates that you can do both. Myth number two, God isn't interested in numbers. Of course, God is interested in numbers. My goodness, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He has a book in his Bible called Numbers. All right? He's interested in numbers. In Matthew 10, 29 and 30, you know, he has the numbers of hair numbered on our head. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. My goodness, numbers matter. Matter of fact, my own personal experience, just being transparent, a couple months ago, you know, I had a hankering that I developed for barbecue potato chips that hit me out of nowhere. All right? And you know, it seemed to not want to leave. Everywhere I walked, it seemed like I was carrying a big bag of barbecue potato chips and going through it in about every 2-3 days. Oh, my goodness. It was just like I couldn't get enough. It was like a chip zombie. Oh, I need more chip, you know? And how many know when you develop a hankering for something like that, you don't go to the store and buy one chip? No, one solitary chip isn't going to satisfy. It just ain't going to do it, right? No, you buy chips, not a chip. That's why they make bags of chips. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, we are better together. We're better together. There's strength in numbers. You know, a family, if they go on vacation, the family of five kids, and, you know, they do a head count, and little Johnny's missing, you know, they don't say, you know, well, we still have four more kids. 80% is not bad. No, hopefully they're going to go find Johnny. So, you know, numbers matter. Myth number three. You know, big church, as it relates to big churches are impersonal. You know, now there may be some truth to this, but you know what? Can I just tell you? I've experienced the same in small church. It's an approach that determines whether it's impersonal. And so, again, you know, numbers matter. Why? Because every number is a person. Every person has a story, and every story, your and my stories, they matter to God. What is the truth about big church? What are some of the truths? Well, God wants it big. God wants it big. First truth about church, God wants everyone to be saved. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, the Great Commission here. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. Wow. And listen to this. And just be encouraged by this. If you're in a tough season in life, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. See, big church approach, it's not about our ego. It's not about, oh, look at how big we are. No. No, it's about being responsible with this very command from our Lord to reach others with his life-giving message. It's about fulfilling the Great Commission. Can I tell you, as long as there's a heaven, as long as there's a hell, as long as there's eternity, we must be relentless and reaching people with the life-saving, rescuing message of Jesus Christ. Church is not about, it's not about your and my convenience. It's not about having it my way. Mm-mm, it's about his way. And that way consists of choosing to esteem others before your or myself. Listen, if it means giving up our seats so that others can be better positioned to receive what God would have them receive, that they may walk in liberty in life, know his love, that's an honor. That is an honor. It's not an obligation. It is an honor. For God paid a huge price in sending his son to the world to die on a cross for you and I, for them, that none should perish, but all have eternal life. We want to make a difference. We are the body. We are the church. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. Our actions, our faith, my goodness, they're written love letters and they're billboards that others will read. Now, how are we being read? How are we being read? How are you being read? Dare to open up. If you've had your book closed for some time, dare to open up and allow others to see the goodness of God at work in your life, that they may glorify your heavenly Father, that they may know him as their Father. Let us read aloud together. Luke 14:23 here. Go out into the country and urge anyone you find to come in so that my house will be full. Not so that the guest room can have occupants. No, not that it should be half full, but be full. He wants it to be full. Big church. But some people say, Jason, I want it small. I want it small. Well, can I just tell you that that's not the goal of the weekend services that we have here at Elevate? No, weekends here, it's a chips mentality, plural. Not chip mentality approach. There is a boat, okay, that's embarking on a destination, and people, they only have so much time to get on board before that boat of hope, before it sets sails. Will we let the power of Christ work through us to see the otherwise hopeless reached and brought aboard the boat of life? How can we reach more people, you may ask? Well, how do I make a difference, you may ask? Well, a couple of the vehicles that we use here to Elevate to do that very thing, to answer those questions, are our growth track and our dream team. Now, our growth track is something that we do in cycles of 4 Sundays. And basically, it goes back to back for the most part. The growth track process, we introduce to you the vision for the church, how we came here, and what the vision is. We take you through an equipping process to give you some good tools to help you in your relationship with Christ to continue to grow. And then we take you through a discovery process in discovering those gifts and abilities that are in you that you may not even realize that you had had. And then, my goodness, taking it a step further, we find an area here at Elevate that you may be able to connect with those gifts and purposes and say, have at it. Amen? Amen? And a lot of what you see here today, this is the dream team that's making all this happen, these services, this reaching out and helping us give the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. The dream team, it's everybody from our sound to our worship team, our children's ministry, hospitality, you name it. It's all the different departments that come together every Sunday to make these services happen. So that's just a couple of the different ways that you can help us with our reach in reaching others as we do big church on Sundays. Second truth about big church, there's strength in numbers. Hey, one snowflake can't do much. It may get you to look up, but a bunch of snowflakes together stop traffic, right? I haven't had a lot of that this winter. there are so many things that you can't do small that you can do big. And we appreciate the time when we were small, but we got to look forward into the vision that God gave us and be willing to grow and by faith step out and go forward into the plans and the promises that he has for us. So, you know, Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this very thing. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Strength in numbers. Our mission is to reach a city and to touch people for Jesus, as the Lord would have us do. It takes everyone. It's a team effort. It takes us. It takes the body. And you are a valuable part of that body. You know, there are, as we do that, as we are the body of Christ, here at Elevate, we have seen marriages healed that were on the brink of divorce. We've seen marriages restored. We've seen people break free from addictions and are now helping others through the recovery process. We have seen people who at one point were giving up on life and ready to end it all, but have made a decision to choose life and are now finding a way to be an encouragement unto others, to lift them up out of the pits of despair. So we are the church. You see, this is about something that's much bigger than ourselves. Much bigger than ourselves. You know, we are a bringing culture here at Elevate. We ask you to invite people that they may experience and become a part of demonstrating what it is to be authentic and staying relevant and purposing to be relational and loving and generous. And you can feel safe to bring people. You can feel safe to bring people here that they may experience those things and know the love, the person of Christ. The third truth about big church. Why big church? Relationships must be a core value. And this is where a lot of times as developing church, if this gets missed, then yeah, things can become impersonal. But if relationships are a core value, then there's health. There's health. And if something's healthy, it can grow. It can grow. God doesn't want churches to be impersonal, but they must buy into this key understanding. You know, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you. Listen, not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Doing life together. Now, this is where small church lends its strength. You know, this is the house-to-house part of this. You know, big churches can be very effective. However, it's not all about being big. God also wants the church to be small. We do big church on weekends, but small church takes place between Sundays for us in small groups. That's how we do small church. We are highlighting this now because we want you to be able to connect to a small group. You know, next Sunday, Rally Day, as you heard Pastor Kyle say earlier, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to see what groups are being offered and what small groups you may want to check out. And, you know, some people, they may never come initially to a weekend service initially, but they will check out a small group. So small groups for us has become an evangelical tool in a lot of ways. And reaching others for Christ and bringing them in and helping them connect and not do life alone. You know, we don't want to be, a lot of times people will say that they don't want to be a small church. Some may say that it's just, myth number one, it's just a waste of time. That I'm busy and I don't need another thing to do, or I've already been to church this week. Or how about this one? Myth. It's this myth. It's not what I want or need. And a lot of times with that mindset comes statements like, well, it's just the wrong people. They talk about things that I'm just not interested in. You know, I want to be with my friends doing what I like to do. You know, how about this myth? You know, it's awkward. Can I tell you, a lot of things initially, at first, are awkward, all right? But, you know, it's only at first. We encourage you to shop the groups. You know, we have found that usually by week 4 or 5, you know, you've found a small group where you've been able to connect around a common interest, a common passion or hobby, and you've made a friend. And that is our hope, that you walk away from those groups with a friend. Truth, it's a place where we can make a difference. Small groups are a place where we can make a difference. That is a truth to small church. It's not a waste of time. God used small groups to be a key to this church's success. Small groups are important to the health of a church, to the health of a New Testament church. Some people, again, will never come to a big service, but they will come to a small group. 1 Corinthians 9:22. Yes, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. Wow. This is where we get to practice that. In the small groups, the common interests, passions can bring us together. Another truth about small church, it's a place where you can grow, where we can grow as we begin to deepen relationship with one another. There's just something about getting that one-on-one time that allows us to be invested in a person's life, in each other's lives, that lends strength to praying for one another and being there for one another. We have different groups because there's different needs, different interests. Free market style groups that are led by things that people, again, have common interest in. They tend to fall in one of 8 different hubs, 8 different categories. Students, marriages, women, men, prayer, freedom, financial, and outreach. We all need growth in some area of our life. If you don't, please come and talk to me, because I'd like to know what your secret is. I need growth. We all need growth in some area. But it's not just going to happen in a big church setting. In the small setting, we can connect. We can do the house-to-house, small church. Remember, often the stages of where we gather, same people, different backdrop, different setting, have to change as it relates to us maturing in Christ. We need small church. Here's one of the reasons, because we have 2 main areas in our lives: blind spots and potential. Blind spots, my goodness, hopefully you have a friend to check your blind spots so that you don't get blindsided in life. You know, I can't help but think of a wrestler, you know, a collegiate wrestler. The coach is on the side. He sees a move that the wrestler can make to get out on top, you know, or he sees that the other is about to make a particular move. And, you know, he's able to call those plays in. He's able to call those moves in. I need accountability. We need somebody checking our blind spots. Potential is another reason. We need people and an environment where our purposes and our giftings, they have a chance to be cultivated, discovered, and developed. Amen? And in small groups provide the atmosphere and the climate for that. You know, listen, here's what we desire for you when you're connected in this small group, is that, again, you leave with a friend by the end of the semester. A friend that's able to speak to the blind spots, that's speaking to the potentials, and where you may very well be able to do that same thing for someone else. Proverbs 27:17 says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You see, Another truth to why God wants small church is, does anyone remember the TV show Cheers? You know, the theme song, it's a place where everybody knows.
Your name.
Yeah, all right. So in small groups, we have leaders who are going to pray for you all through the week, and they're going to know your name. Know your name, not just of you, because they're taking time together. They're sharing life together with you, investing in one another's lives. Small groups are important to our development. In small groups, relationship takes place in which Christ is the centerpiece, and they have the opportunity to deepen. And when things deepen as it relates to God, then our reach has the potential to be wide. And so in small groups, we get to model unto one another the love that Christ has modeled, the love that Christ has shown us. In 1 John 3:16, we know that what real love is, because as Christ gave up his life for us, so also we ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. Our ministry model, Elevate, has always got to be to see people saved, restored, redeemed, and fulfilled. In closing, I would just like to take a moment to address a couple things here. Perhaps you're here today, and for some reason, perhaps you've had a past hurt. Perhaps there's an insecurity, or perhaps there's a fear that you've struggled with. Maybe you've let emotions dictate your ceilings in life. God has been wanting to take you on an adventure of discovering purpose through getting connected with others and using your abilities to bless others. God has more for you, friend. More for you. All of us, and I'm not excluded, we all wrestle with junk in life. But God's calling in plays. He's calling in moves for you and I to be able to get out on top through his Son and through his love. So my prayer is for you today, that today is the day that you will say yes to going forward, yes to getting connected to church, the movement of the body of believers. Now, with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, if you are here today and you do not know what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. You have heard a word today that emphasizes so much on connecting with people, reaching people, valuing people, and esteeming others before ourselves. And now it's because Jesus first loved us that we can know a sure hope. And in turn, there's a love that wells up in us and pours over into the lives of others. Are you tired of not having a solution to look to in life's challenges? Are you tired of going around the same mountain of pain and despair over and over? Are you tired of doing life alone? Well, let me introduce you to Jesus, the friend that sticks closer than that brother. He took it all. All of your and my shortcomings, our sin, our missing the mark, and he took it all upon himself upon the cross and bore the full justice that it deserved from a holy, righteous, and loving God, that you and I could come into relationship with him and know him as Heavenly Father. If that's you today and he's calling to you, would you dare be bold enough as to raise your hand and make that decision? Say yes to Jesus on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. Church, and those that raise their hands, if you would, just repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Take control of my life. I invite you, Lord Jesus, into my life. Thank you for placing Jesus' right standing to my life. Thank you for making me new.